In an age that rebels against hierarchy and purity, the Immaculate Conception stands as a bold contradiction. Our Lady's exaltation challenges everything the modern world worships. Stay tuned for a powerful reflection.
Ave mundis pes Maria.
Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here. Today's reflection may inspire you in ways you didn't expect. Today we celebrate a great Marian feast, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. To honor this special day, I want to share a penetrating reflection by Professor Plinio Correa de Oliveira on the ideological storm that met this dogma and what it reveals about the spiritual battle we face today. Listen to this. When the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was defined by Pius IX, a real storm broke out across Europe. A storm of hatred, protests, and indignation, which affected not only non-Catholics, but also Catholics themselves. In fact, in many Catholic circles, there was outrage that the dogma of the Immaculate Conception had been defined. What explains this outrage? Consider the content of the dogma. Our Lady was conceived without original sin from the very first instant of her existence. Now I ask, what could possibly make that anger anyone? It's a hatred born from an egalitarian mindset, the kind that resents hierarchy or exaltation. A resentment towards seeing a creature placed at the highest point any mere creature could reach. Even more so because it is a woman, and in that, God's sovereign will is revealed even more powerfully, for He takes what is considered secondary in human order, the woman, and places her at the very top of all created beings. This alone deeply wounds the egalitarian spirit. Then, people are also disturbed by the idea that this creature was made an exception. There exists a rule that has never before had an exception, and that exception is that she was conceived without original sin from the first instant of her being. This idea that Our Lady was exempt from original sin, breaking a universal rule and being placed so far above all humanity, adds to another reality. It goes against the earthbound mentality that despises all that is sublime. Our Lady, conceived without original sin, Mother of God, when all this is contemplated together, represents such a sublimity of being, so pure, so immaculate, so far above anything imaginable, so virginal in the very depths of her being, having none of the impulses that, even in a saint, can bear the sting of the flesh, for she was conceived without original sin. It is something so transcendent in sublimity, so elevated and refined in purity, so distinct and exalted in human condition, that before our eyes appears a figure infinitely greater than ourselves, revealing to us to what heights God can raise a human creature, though we ourselves were not raised there. And from this, a kind of honor and glory flows to all humanity. Our gaze is lifted towards a higher order of being that shatters the earthly monotony of daily life. This longing for the sublime directly collides with the egalitarian spirit. And since that spirit hates everything sublime and exalted, not only out of its equality obsession, but also from a positive love for the earthly, the banal, the trivial, and even the degraded, it follows that these individuals harbor a deep hatred for the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. This explains the fury that broke out in Europe over that dogma, an anti-Marian fury that is not dead, but very much alive today. Now the professor makes the powerful connection to our lives. Can we find another expression of that same fury? I believe we can. It is the hatred that people, moved by the spirit of darkness, bear towards virtue, especially in its aspects of purity, composure, and dignity. They sense these qualities, and it provokes in them a militant hatred. Composure, nobility, refinement of manner, even in those of humble condition, draws everyone's attention and wins the sympathy of the good. But at the same time, it provokes genuine hatred, the offspring of the same hatred they have towards Our Lady. Those who love triviality hate those who are not earthbound. They hate those who strive to lift their minds upward and who bear in themselves the dignity of being children of God, something that reflects a trace of Our Lady's own royalty. And this is precisely what infuriates them. Now listen to the professor's powerful conclusion. It is, however, a reason for joy among the good, for it fulfills that beatitude: blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And within this beatitude lies a special refinement of blessedness: to be persecuted for love of Our Lady, and for the same reasons that cause others to hate her. So, as the feast of the Immaculate Conception approaches, we should ask Our Lady to grant us this blessedness, to be so united to her, to bear her likeness so deeply, that one might truly say we are hated because of what in us resembles her. We should ask for this grace, and ask for it fervently. And with that, the professor concludes. Today, on her feast, let us ask for the grace to reflect her purity, composure, and royal dignity in our own lives, and to have the courage to endure any scorn that may come from it for the sake of her Son. Wishing you all a blessed feast of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, please like and share to help spread Padre Pio's message. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell so you never miss our latest uploads. Want to deepen your connection with Padre Pio? Consider becoming a protected child of Padre Pio, a special way to grow spiritually and be part of our prayerful community. You'll find a link to the join page in the description below. Check out the recommended videos on the end screen or the links in the description for more content, including our Padre Pio Thoughts for the Day playlist. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.